It's Friday, September 6th in the year of our Lord 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot to talk about today, folks. Goodness. Taking your phone calls throughout the show, but it's getting crazy, folks. It really is, and the move against free speech worldwide is really taking on a new and terrifying form. I think we just saw the first little taste of it with the supposed indictment, this point, highly suspect indictment against Lauren Chen and Tenet Media. We'll get into that, but the more I think about it, I mean, I covered it a lot on yesterday's show. But the more you think about this, the less sense it makes. And at this point, I'm almost wondering if the whole thing wasn't a honeypot trap. Like, I would love to talk to Lauren Chen or her husband, who were the two, you know, running Tenet Media. So I don't know if these supposed Russian agents even existed. Not only did they exist,
they existed with multiple personas. I read the whole indictment yesterday and everything.
I read the whole indictment too. Why did they use multiple personas?
So that they could trick the people at Tenet into thinking that there were financiers. Right. Gregorian was
there were financiers, though. The money came from somewhere.
It came from Russia. RT.
Right. But they knew it came from RT.
No, they didn't.
Who didn't?
Everyone who worked at Tenet Media other than Lauren Chen and her husband.
So but they knew.
Yes. No. They did eventually know. They said they knew it was the Russians. Yeah. Right. There were text messages displayed in the There were dated text messages in the indictment that said that they ultimately figured it out, right? And we think that they figured it out maybe sometime in April, right? When the woman, Lena, had, number one, she had scheduled a meeting for Paris time and then accidentally...
I got the tower wrong and then searched, you know, what time
Moscow.
Is it in Paris. Yeah,
exactly. And so there was that mess up. There's the fact that Gregorian was misspelled multiple times, right? They were trying to make it seem like to the other people other than Lauren Chen and her husband, the other people in Tenet Media, that there were investors, that there were a bunch of people. You saw the slip-ups. If you read the indictment, you saw the slip-ups where either Lena or... Kalishnikov.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That's not illegal.
It was illegal for Lauren Chen and her husband not to register themselves as principals of foreign agents under the FARA Act. Yes, 100%. It says in the indictment.
I know, but the FARA Act only applies to lobbying efforts. It's not about media.
No, in this case it does. It applies to them and their media organization. I'll pull it up.
I know, but well, I mean, I know that's what the indictment says, but that's not what the FARA law was written for. I mean, the FARA law is about foreign agents registering for lobbying efforts. Like if you lobby directly to I pulled it up yesterday. There was a case in 1995 where they wanted to show a Canadian documentary, and they actually changed FARA to remove the part about political propaganda because it's not about stopping. Like it's not the FARA Act is not about whether your country is an enemy or an ally with the United States. It's just foreign. So if a Canadian person wants to lobby the U.S. government, they have to register. If a Russian person wants to, they have to register. If an Iranian person wants to, they have to register. It's not about whether your country is friendly or not. You just have to register. And you have to register if you're lobbying the American government for something. But it's not about. Otherwise, every single media outlet would be in violation of this. Every single media outlet takes foreign money. I have a list today that should be printed out soon where, you know, they show the number of media outlets that have received tens of millions of dollars from directly from the Chinese government. That's not illegal. There's nothing illegal about it having foreign investors, even if you're a media company. So, like, unless you're lobbying the government, that's what the FARA law is about. That's why I'm saying none of this makes any sense. The FARA law doesn't apply. What does it say? Engaged in domestic lobbying or advocacy for foreign governments, organizations, or persons to register with the DOJ. Yeah, but lobbying and advocacy. That's the thing. It doesn't apply. So scroll down to
so
where.
So does advocacy? Maybe they're interpreting it with advocacy. The word advocacy.
Yeah, that doesn't right. Right, but that doesn't make any sense. And again, it's not about whether you're an enemy or not. That means that anybody receiving money from Britain is has to register. No, I mean that doesn't make any sense. That would
The other thing might have been the fact that they needed the capital to start up Tenet. Here in the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm slightly uncertain because again I didn't necessarily get a legal interpretation of the indictment. I just read it with the guys in the control room after the show yesterday. We all kind of dug into it, and it just makes it seem like Lauren Chen and her husband both kind of knew what was up, and they were paid extremely handsomely, and they negotiated very, very handsome contracts. I mean, there should have been some eyes raised. It looked like Commentator 1 and Commentator 2 actually tried to do some due diligence to figure out where the money was coming from. I don't know if it was Tim Pool's team or if it was Benny Johnson.
Right, and that was where the Edward Gregarian, they made up like the fake profiles and the fake CV.
Exactly. And I, of course, just for grins, I Googled the name, and of course there's a person out there named Ed Gregarian, right? Who looks like he's in like some finance. You see a couple things on the front page of Google. So, if you were to receive a bio like that, something that looks, pretty nicely made, and you give it a simple Google search, a couple of things check out, and it's like, oh, okay, sure, yeah, okay, I'll sign with these people. They want to pay me, and I was talking to Reese, the editor, about a lot of the stuff in this industry, right? Where you've got people who are independent content creators, and someone offers to pay you something like, let's just say, let's lowball you, $200,000 a year. Is that cool with you? Would you want to join Tenet Media for $200,000? A lot of people would say yes, right? Because mm-hmm. of the nature of how the information economy is, right? The news economy.
But this is where I'm still confused. There. So, I honestly don't think FARA applies here. Everything I've seen, and pull up the Wikipedia and scroll down to the 1995 Canadian case. I don't think FARA applies here because they weren't lobbying Congress. They weren't trying to affect political change by, advocating for anything. So they weren't foreign agents. Lauren Chen, I don't even think is a naturalized American citizen. So that's another little caveat that's bizarre. Lauren Chen and her husband aren't indicted or charged with anything. So, they're not even saying that they did anything wrong. So, I guess you could say that it would be violating sanctions, because that would be the only legal barrier to accepting foreign money, would be if that money had sanctions on it. But sanctions aren't applied to entire countries. They're applied to certain industries and specific people or specific accounts within those. And that's why there's like rounds of sanctions. It's like, first they'll sanction, this sector, then they sanction this other sector. So I don't think, I don't think they were violating any sanctions, and they don't mention any sanctions in the document. They mention FARA, but FARA doesn't apply. If FARA applied, well, Al Jazeera is foreign funded, BBC is foreign funded. They're allowed to have, offices here. They don't register as foreign agents. I mean, actual foreign
they
agents
might.
Also don't
they
register.
Might. But I'm not exactly sure.
Okay, but so the question is, why would they hide that the source of the money was Russia? Why would they want to conceal that?
Oh, I think that they said when they were looking for Commentator 1, I've actually got the document open.
Oh, wait, you dropped out there.
Give me 1 second here. Yeah, I'm talking to the crew.
Yeah, if y'all just print out the whole indictment, we'll go through it. Because I read the whole thing and was trying to keep track of, like, what the actual accusations were, what the actual wrongdoing was. And they have a bunch of stuff about text messages, and they have, you know, they reference the Russians, and they have this. And, like, clearly the Russian people were being shady and had these multiple accounts that they were operating, multiple, like, aliases that they were operating as, which is weird and suspicious, but why? I legitimately don't understand what the problem was.
So on page 6 of the indictment, they start listing examples. For example, in July 2021, an email inviting a contact to apply for a job with RT, founder one, either Chen or her husband, wrote that the budget is gonna be larger, but acknowledged, "I know being Russian, some folks in the U.S. aren't too hot on them, LOL."
Right.
Right. And so I think that founder one and founder two knew that if the money was connected to people who were Russian, there were just maybe bad optics involved.
Yeah, that makes sense. But that's not illegal. It might be kind of underhand. It might be, you know, not totally up front. But again, I'm wondering what. So I don't think that this falls under FAR, honestly. I mean, maybe we got to open up the phone lines for lawyers to call in or something, people that actually understand this stuff.
Again, not to beat you over the head with the FARA thing.
Agents. So when did this happen? That was in 2019. All right, if y'all can print out that story and print out the indictment itself, and we'll go through it. Because again, I don't think, and look, even if, no, because the indictment's not against founder one or founder two. The indictment's only against the Russian people for conspiracy to evade FARA requirements.
Sure. And, you know, if we were to pull back, right, if we were to take a look and let's just for a second have a thought experiment, and we all work at the DOJ under a Democratic administration. Like, hey, we've got this case. Hey, let's take that, right? You know what I mean? That's like getting two birds stoned at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that is the whole point of all of this. And like, Lauren Chen has had her YouTube channel removed. She's been fired from Blaze Media now. Tenet Media has had its YouTube channel removed. So they weren't even accused of anything other than being tricked by Russians, according to the indictment. They certainly haven't been tried. They never will be tried because they'll never go to court because they'll never arrest the people that they're charging because they'll never get them to be extradited from Russia. So this is the way it works. The DOJ just mentions you in an indictment, and then you use you lose your YouTube channel. I mean, this really doesn't, like, nothing about this makes any sense.
I mean, the mask has been off. Right. For a while. Right. It's one of those things where, like, not shocked. Right. Not surprised. Right. But still, it does make me infuriated. Right. Like, I don't like that, you know, people are being selectively targeted. And ultimately, like, if this is their, like, October surprise type thing, it's, you know, one of the best takes yesterday, you know, if we were to sum up how people really feel about this, it's, you know, 2016 called wants its cliches back. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And people are acting again like this, you know, justifies 8 years of lies about Russian influence when no Russian influence was proven in the indictment. No Russian influence is really even alleged other than providing the money to already successful content creators to keep creating the content that they were already making in the first place. So, like, there's nothing to this. Although, you know, Tim Pool,
they did have requirements for reposting and stuff like that.
Yeah, they asked him to repost things.
Right, which does go against the claims of the creators that said that they had full autonomous control, because if they were being asked to repost things that they did not make, right, for money, that means that they, in fact, don't have full control. They may have full control over what stories that they bring to Tenet Media, but they were required to repost things, right?
Well, I would question that too. I mean, if Alex Jones said, "Hey, Harrison, can you retweet this?" I'd retweet it. But yeah, but you could say also no. Say no. You yeah, well, no. I think they could say no,
no
too.
No, they tried to say no, and they were rebuffed. It says in the indictment.
Yeah, well, we got to print out the indictment. And we'll bring it in. The other thing is that Tim Pool has been posting, and it's funny because like he's very sarcastic on Twitter, which is hilarious. And like honestly, the stuff he's been posting recently is like the best stuff he's ever posted. It's very funny when he's just like, you know, actually, I've switched sides. Now I'm in favor of war. It's very funny. But then he says, I've been contacted by the FBI as a potential victim of a crime. The FBI believes I have information relevant to an ongoing criminal investigation and requested a voluntary interview. I will be offering my assistance in this matter. So, yeah, I guess he could be sarcastic about this, but this doesn't seem like sarcasm. It seems like this is a legit statement. This is after the indictment has already been put forward. So, and I see people warning him, as they should, like, don't talk to them, because the only reason the FBI wants to talk to you is to catch you in a lie. Same thing they did with Roger Stone. Same thing they tried to do with Alex Jones and everybody. I mean, this is what they do, right? They bring you in for an interview after they've done the investigation, after they have all this evidence. They bombard you with questions, and if you answer one incorrectly, then they charge you with lying to a federal officer and concealing evidence in a crime. So, you know, even if you didn't commit a crime, and even if you're not even being accused of a crime, if they interrogate you and you slip up or you misspeak or you don't remember something correctly, then they can charge you with a crime and put you away. So, I mean, all of this, again, the number of things that are weird and wrong and just nonsensical about this are infinite, to the point where I really wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, in the indictment too, it's like, well, there's this shell company that was a Hungarian construction company, and this other company was a UAE technology company, and the money was just, you know, funneled through these. So like, the only proof I have that this was even Russian money is according to the FBI. I mean, think about the WikiLeaks, revelations about, like, what was the program called where they could just disguise all of their actions as coming from a different country. So if they went and hacked somebody and then an investigation was held, it would purposefully leave traces seeming to point to Russia or China.
You're talking about the Vault Zero leaks.
Yeah, the Vault Zero leaks. Like, it strikes me almost as a form of that. Where if you wanted to get, you know, content creators arrested or suspended from YouTube or something, you know, why wouldn't the CIA, DOJ, FBI, why wouldn't they like funnel some money through some Russian cutout corporation, pay a content creator, and then bust themselves on this, for accepting the money? Which, again, is it illegal to take foreign investment? I mean, is that not legal if you're a media company? Or if you're, I mean, that just doesn't make any sense with the investments that go to media companies across all of America. Again, we have the collection of like tens of millions of dollars. China Daily, controlled by the CCP, has paid $4.6 million to the Washington Post, $6 million to the Wall Street Journal, over a quarter million dollars for advertising on Twitter. So are these newspapers that are and associated with these newspapers guilty of treason? Are they being paid for pro-CCP talking points?
I'm not saying that they're not. And obviously, we throw so much shade at the CCP-controlled Washington Post.
Right. I mean, Los Angeles Times, the Seattle Times, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Chicago Tribune, the Houston Chronicle, and the Boston Globe are all listed as clients of China Daily. The Chinese outlet paid the Los Angeles Times $657,000 for printing services, according to FARA filing. So I guess they did file under FARA. The Justice Department has for years required China Daily to disclose its activities semi-annually under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. The most recent filing, which China Daily submitted on June 1st, is the first to include detailed breakdowns of payments to American news outlets. The outlets disclosed these expenditures for the period between November 16th and April 2020. So they just should have registered, and then it would have been fine, I guess. That's what's.
Yeah, it could have been it.
I mean, the background, again, we're not saying that like the videos that Tenet, what I'm not complaining about is the content of the videos that Tenet Media reposted. Those are all serious domestic issues. And ultimately, if the Russians' goal is to, you know, sow discord in the United States by pointing out, hey, you got a bunch of crackheads on your streets, you know, maybe that's going to get people off the couch and up and out and doing something to try to, whether it's voting, whether it's cleaning trash off the street, whether it's, you know, it's going to get people to act, right? So, you know, you think about it. I don't think that it had the effect that the DOJ is claiming. The DOJ is saying that, you know, because RT was prohibited from broadcasting in America and, you know, RT lost, I guess, some of its accounts, you know, on YouTube or whatever with social bannings, that this was the reason that they wanted to inject $10 million, you know, into news coverage. It seems kind of weird. And the other weird thing that if you read the indictment, Lauren Chen and her husband both repeatedly warned Lena and Kolesnikov that the talent that they were securing, the six personalities, right, mm-hmm. They were going to be too expensive. They were not going to be profitable with the overhead they had to pay the talent,
right?
The contributors, right? So,
yeah. So again, I don't really even see what the crime is here. What the accusations are. Obviously, the way this is being taken is. I mean, look, I just think, look at the media landscape. There's not a single conservative outlet that's not being attacked. And it's whatever they can attack you with. They're going after InfoWars for, you know, 10-year-old claims about Sandy Hook. They're going after Gateway Pundit. They're going after VDare. They basically destroyed VDare over complete, you know, utter nonsense. I mean, they're going after every single right-wing uncontrolled, you know, actually dissident outlet out there for destruction. And this apparently is a new tool in their toolbox. I mean, I would be,
they're very desperate. They're in a corner, right? They're in the Kamala corner, right? They're in a corner where Kamala is their best option for victory. What would you do?
Well, we'll show you a video on the other side of Kamala making it very clear. She intends to send the DOJ after media outlets for their free speech.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself, the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.